Today on Real Radio.
In the first century church, they used the Old Testament, God the Holy Spirit being the author of the Bible, inspired the going forth of doctrine. What was the result? They fellowshiped together. They continued in prayers. This is the church.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called You Need to Know. This collection of lessons has begun with scriptural observations on the nature of the one true God. There are attributes about our Creator that are revealed in His Word. Now, that includes His Holy Spirit and His numerous functions. These are the areas our teacher will explore today in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
God says 743 years before Mary ever had or gave birth to a little lamb in Bethlehem, Isaiah said, "The virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel." A virgin will give birth to the eternal Son of God, and in that moment, God will dwell among mankind. Did that happen? It's called Christmas. Fulfilled prophecy is a science. It's called eschatology, and it shuts up the mouths of the doubters and the unbelievers. Nobody can tamper with God's fulfilled prophecies. By the way, you and I love God for having given those to us, and we're thankful. And there are joy. And in the same token, those same fulfilled Bible prophecies will be the very condemnation of the non-believer, because there's no excuse for them to not believe in God. They cannot accuse God of being mysterious or hiding somewhere or not revealing. Oh no, He's revealed clearly. Number two, archaeological evidence from the Bible. No other writings in the history of mankind can match the Bible in its archaeological. That is, listen, the science of archaeology, that when the Bible says, "And thus a so place, a culture or civilization lived," even though they're extinct from the earth today, if that archaeological group gets a shovel and goes and starts digging, guess what they find? Exactly what the Bible says. Did you know that, everybody? Did you know that? Did you know that still to this day, concerning the Smithsonian Institute, Indiana University, USC, San Diego State, University of Cairo? Did you know that Hebrew University in Tel Aviv? Did you know that in Japan, universities? Did you know what one single book? Oh, I hope this gets you upset if you're not a believer. I hope this so bugs you, it drives you crazy. Did you know that no matter, listen, pick any school and find an archaeological department, and guess what they have there in their archaeological rooms and their studies? The Bible. Why? Because when they start going through these pages and they read names like Hittites. Hittites? Well, what's a Hittite? And they start digging around where the Bible says the Hittites live. Guess what they find? They find Hittites. They find Hittite ankle bones connected to the Hittite femur bones to the... Number three. The evidence for the first century crucifixions. That's a fact. Found in the Bible, found in writings outside of the Bible. Which leads us to this next argument, the Bible's internal consistencies. For example, when the Bible says something about this king or about this queen or about this culture or about this event, it winds up being something you can research. The Bible doesn't mention, listen, there are other books written by religious founders. Look, I love the Mormon people. They're very sweet people. They're fantastic people. But the Book of Mormon is archaeologically bankrupt. Did you know that? I love the people, but their book's messed up. You cannot find, and no university uses the Book of Mormon for archaeological evidence. Not so for the Bible. The next argument is extra-biblical writings. We say, what do you mean by that? That means non-religious writings. By the way, if you can find it, it's very hard to find. I actually own a copy. If you can find it, get your hands on it. Atheists hate this book. The first thing you do, you Google it, and you'll see all these people slamming it because they don't want you to read it. Arco volume, A-R-C-O, the Arco volume from Constantinople. Get it if you can find it. Why? It's extra-biblical writings on the events of the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus Christ. I mean, in some cases, it slams Jesus because it's written from a Roman perspective. It covers the hearings and trials, for example, when Rome looked into the investigations after the supposed resurrection of Jesus. Did you know Rome investigated the events? That is outside the biblical account? Did you know that Herod and others were brought to trial for investigation on what happened by Rome? You can read about it in other writings, but one of them is a compiled effort of the Arco volume. Did you know that there's a universal record, even in China, regarding a universal flood? What about the longevity, long lifespans of people? Did you know that's a scientific fact? We read the biblical account and people laugh at it. And yet there's evidence that absolutely speaks to such a thing. Did you know that extra-biblical accounts record that a slave group called the Israelites left Egypt? Did you know that is a fact outside of biblical accounts? What about the Assyrian nation and their repeated invasions of the nation of Israel? I love that, because that's an archaeological fact written down in extra-biblical writings. And yet many people today will say, no, there was no such thing as Israelites until 1948. Oh, that's funny, because there's data talking about Israel 3,000 years ago, calling Israel by the name, let me think for a moment, Israel. Did you know that in extra-biblical writings, and I've had a chance to see them, by the way, at the British Museum in London, England, Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Judah, I've seen them in the British Museum. Maybe you have too. Listen, if you have one place to go before you die, make this your bucket list. Go to the British Museum in London, England. It's free. And walk through there. Take a few days. You better take your Bible with you, because it is Bible plump. Nebuchadnezzar's invasion of Judah. Did you know this? Also, Cyrus freeing the Jews from Babylon and sending them back to Israel. Did you know that's in extra-biblical writings? Did you know that the life and murder of John the Baptist is written in Roman history? Did you know that there's the prolonged darkness on the day that Jesus died recorded in astronomical charts in other parts of the world? Did you know that? In 32 AD? And did you know that King Herod Agrippa's sudden death in Caesarea is written down in Roman history? The next thing is the Bible's amazing scientific accuracy. Did you know that the mariners of old discovered that the Bible speaks about currents in the sea that change with seasons? Did you know that it's from the Bible that it says that God carries water up out of the ocean and sends it back to the mountains or to the deserts and rains down, and that's a cycle that is perpetual? Did you know the Bible says that? Did you know that the Bible says that God is the one that puts migration into the minds of an animal to do? That's awesome. There's a little bird, the golden plover, I think it is. He's hatched in Alaska in the summer. He's hatched. Little cute little guy. Mom and dad raise him up, but mom and dad are smart. Just when they've had enough of him, they fly from Alaska. Mom and dad leave the nest. They fly from Alaska to Hawaii to spend the winter. Smart bird, huh? But the baby's still in the nest. What does the baby do? The baby, having never been to Hawaii, leaves the nest and flies 2,300 miles by himself to a speck in the middle of the Pacific called Hawaii. How'd he get there? The Bible says, I do that. Monarch butterflies, the longest migrating insect in the world, will leave their locations east of the Rocky Mountains from Canada and fly to a very small mountainous region in Mexico and spend the winter. Now, the ones born in California, they go to Santa Barbara for the winter. They do, I'm not kidding. Who does this? God does this. Manuscript evidence. Homer's Iliad is the most documented ancient document of human history, except for one book. Let me think what it is. The Bible. 25,000 partial and complete ancient handwriting manuscripts of the New Testament exist, as well as thousands of copies of the Old Testament exist today. And in 1947, the discovery of the Qumran Caves and the Dead Sea Scrolls, listen to this, yielded not only the entire Old Testament scriptures, the Bible, but for example, 19 copies of the book of Isaiah was found, 25 copies of the book of Deuteronomy, 30 copies of the book of Psalms. Every book of the Bible was found except the book of Esther. Dead Sea Scrolls, the Bible, authored by the Holy Spirit. And then I'll have to leave you with this because you're running out of time. I could go on this topic. The Bible's transforming power for good in the world. An endless amount of hospitals and orphanages created by Christians in history in the world, more than any other religion. Did you know that? Orphanages and hospitals founded by Christian missionaries. Most of the world's greatest universities founded by Christians. For example, John Harvard founded Harvard University, Yale, Princeton, to name a few. Christian education centers for the ministry. They launched innumerable humanitarian efforts for the poor. The tireless work for male-female equality and for those of different skin colors. Argument for the case? The Bible. The scientific exploration and the explode of scientific ventures into the world and to the universe by Christian explorers. The development of the arts, and this is one of the greatest, of course. William Wilberforce, having read the Bible, understood that slavery must be abolished if Christianity is to be obeyed. And in Parliament in England, he gave birth to what eventually spread to the United States in the abolitionist movement, of which Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Rush, Benjamin Franklin, and John Adams, and Samuel Adams were great fans of and adopted that. How do you explain this? The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ came into the world. Schaff, in his book, The Person of Christ, Philip Schaff, page 29, writes, and I quote, "Jesus of Nazareth, without money or arms, without weapons, conquered more people than Alexander the Great, Caesar of Rome, Muhammad of Islam, and Napoleon. Without science and learning, he shed more light on things human and divine than all philosophers and scholars combined. Without the eloquence of schools, he spoke with such words of life as were never spoken before or since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of orator and poet. Without writing a single line, he set more pens in motion," don't you love that? "And furnished more themes for more sermons, orations, discussions, learned volumes, works of art, songs of praise, than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times combined," Jesus Christ. He never traveled more than 200 miles in his lifetime, Jesus. Number 13, God the Holy Spirit unifies the believers. He's not only the author of the Bible, he unifies believers, Christians. He unifies us. He's the one that does it. You and I are brought together as believers based upon the Holy Spirit at work in your life. The Bible says in Psalm 133, verse 1, Psalm 133, 1 says, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity as one." One mind, one spirit, one heart, many. How does that happen? The word "together" here in Hebrew, in Psalm 133, is the word that out of multiples made one. It means one in mission, one in direction, one in voice, one in will, one in action. How does this happen? This is, by the way, this is the goal of any corporation or company, is to unify, for example, its employees for the cause of the company. It's hard to do with a church. No, let me take that back. It's impossible to do with the church unless the Holy Spirit does it. Look, if we worked for a company that sold widgets, and for every widget sold, you and I would get a certain percentage, you and I would all work together, though we might hate each other's guts, we might work together 8 to 10 hours a day to produce as many widgets as possible. We'd be unified with the mission and the direction and the goal, right? Why? Oh, because I can't stand you, but I want the money. And companies can come together unified to produce a widget so that you and I can make money. Mammon. And we'll unify for that. The Holy Spirit will have nothing to do with that. Think about it. It's only by unity does the Holy Spirit produce in a church or a body of believers what he intends. It's amazing. In Romans chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible says, "So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another." That's true, you know. It's true about you. You have a couple of eyeballs. You have a nose. All these things make you one, but there's multiple parts of who you are. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophesying or prophecy, that is speaking forth the word of God, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching. He who exhorts in exhortation. And he who gives with liberality. He who leads with diligence," can't be a sloppy leader. "He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Isn't that beautiful? The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that God the Holy Spirit was going to bring the body of Christ together, going to give gifts of the Holy Spirit so that the body of Christ would be multiple members but unified by the Spirit's power. Acts 2:42 says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine." The teachings, listen this, the Word of God. In the first century church, they used the Old Testament, God the Holy Spirit being the author of the Bible, inspired the going forth of doctrine. What was the result? They fellowshiped together. They continued in prayers. This is the church. Am I going too fast? Good. 1 Corinthians 12:12. "For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks." Isn't this great? Listen, whether Jews or Greeks, God doesn't care. If you're a Greek or a Jew, Gentile or a Jew, he doesn't care. Whether slaves or free, he doesn't care. "And having all been made to drink into one Spirit, in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I have not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body?" Can your foot get up and leave you right now? Imagine that. There goes your foot right there. Can you imagine? "I'm sick and tired of being. I'm always hidden. Nobody gets to see me. I'm breaking out of here." Your foot can't do that. "Is it therefore not of the body?" Of course it's of the body. "If the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be?" Isn't that great? "If the whole were hearing, where would the smell be? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" Isn't that awesome? God has placed each of us, each one of us. You know, last week we gathered together and you prayed. Hands were laid upon you, or you were prayed over and you asked the Lord, "Lord, here I am. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and use me." And in the days and in the weeks, God's going to be using you. If he hasn't already, I've already heard reports how God's been using people. How does that work? Because listen, some of us are elbows, some of us are fingers, some of us are noses, some of us are mouths, some of us are feet, some of us are knees in the body of Christ. One of my favorite verses, I love this verse. It's a great verse. It's Amos 3:3. Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they're in agreement?" Man, that's a great verse for marriage. That's a great verse for a team. That's a great verse for a company. Listen, without this verse in a church, It ain't a church. Listen, this is between you and I. I'm just a human. Believe me, I'm more aware of that than you are. But I try to get every bit of effort. You guys know this if you come here. I try to give as much Bible as possible so the sermons don't fail. Because if the sermons have Bible in it, then it's a winner. Yeah, but you weren't funny that day. Doesn't matter if it's Bible. But, well, listen, when the Bible goes out, it affects people. And some people, how is it? How do you explain this? Because I hear it all the time. Somebody will be sitting down and they'll tell me that sermon, that was like a water hose being shot at my life. I've been refreshed. The very same person sitting next to them said, you know what, it made me disgusted. I can't stand this place. I can't stand you and I'll never be back. How do you explain that? How do you explain that an 8-year-old kid will come up to me and say, Pastor Jack, I understood today for the first time ever what Jesus did for me. And a 90-year-old man will come and say the exact same thing. How do you explain that? Exactly, Angie. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. If doctrine goes out, the Holy Spirit will take it. And he's the one that ministers in this body. He's the one that goes to work. And in some ways, I'm just a spectator. But what does he do? He unifies the body. Look, you may be white, you may be black, you may be Portuguese. You think God cares? You may be rich, you may be poor, you may be middle class in between. You think God cares? You know what he cares about? He cares about us being one. Isn't it amazing? All around the world for thousands of years, people by the Holy Spirit speak. Listen, there's Christians in China, we've never met them. And they think and they believe just like you. How does that happen? The Holy Spirit uses God's doctrine. That's how he unifies the body of Christ. Yeah, but what if somebody runs out of the church but their hair on fire because they don't like what was said? They're not part of the unification. They may be religious, but they're not part of the body of Christ. They can't stomach the Spirit using the word.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit. It's actually part of a mini-series that goes by this title, and it's taken from Pastor Jack's collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. It's called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know All About God, the Holy Spirit, on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we want to remind you that Pastor Jack is offering live services from Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, right there at the website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great time to feel part of a great community while we're dealing with social distancing. You'll also hear encouraging messages and important updates. So head on over to the website, click on that tab that's labeled Home, where dates and times are available so you can watch us live at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. One more time, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, during this time of isolation and social distancing, we might feel alone. But, you know, God doesn't want you to go through this difficult time without knowing how much he really loves you, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you. Now, more than ever, we need God's plan of salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, if you want to know more, just go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and look for the tab that says Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. Once you're there, you'll discover how to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and also how to email us if you have any more questions. Don't live another moment without knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only one who can give you eternal life in heaven with him. If you'd like more info, just go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number, if you should need it, is 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Also, the address, P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.